This is an Enterprise Times podcast. My name is Steve Brooks. I'm here today with Dr. Jill Strange, Vice President, HCM Science Applications at Infor.
Good afternoon, Steve. It's great to be here.
Good afternoon. Today, Team Insights, a new product, was announced. Can you tell me a little bit about it?
We're very excited about this new product. And just to give you a little bit of background and how we arrived at it, my group manages our talent science product from a science standpoint. We go into organizations and we evaluate people that are currently working within jobs day in, day out. We understand their behavioral DNA, which is their pattern of behavioral, cultural, and cognitive characteristics. We then compare that to benchmarks of success and help organizations to select the right people, move them into roles that they could potentially be more successful in, think about succession planning. That's been our core product for several years, and we've gotten very good at being able to predict whether people will be a good fit for a role that we would like to put them in. Now, we know that job fit isn't everything and that we don't work in a vacuum. So as part of our evolution of the product, we wanted to start looking at person-to-person fit and really think about how teams can come together to be more successful based on knowledge of their own behavioral preferences. It led us down this road of developing this Team Insights product, and we really started out jointly working with a few customers of ours where they also saw this need within their organization. One financial institution that we were working with was moving away from a siloed model where their employees were working alone, not really interacting with a whole lot of other employees on their job day to day, to more of a team-based model. And they really saw this need to be able to help these team members understand how they were aligned, how they were diverse, how we could potentially start to make connections between people when they really didn't have to have those connections before.
So effectively you are looking at driving is trying to have an organization build higher performing teams. I won't say high performance teams, but higher performing teams. So how are you measuring that?
So this product's been an evolution. When you're thinking about looking at teams, you can either look at things from a descriptive perspective or more of a predictive perspective. The first step in getting to prediction is focusing more on the description. And that's what this product does, is really describing what team members look like in comparison to each other. So we're looking at two large buckets, if you will. The first bucket is looking at team members by behavioral characteristic. So we're measuring things like how analytical is a person, how ambitious is a person, how disciplined are they. When we look at this information at a characteristic level, it's important to understand where people are aligned in their behaviors, where they're diverse in their behaviors, what are maybe some behaviors that could cause strife within a team and cause them to be less than high performing. What we do kind of in the first bucket here is we're looking at degree of alignment and providing insight to teams around how they can leverage these characteristics that they have to be more successful. What are some things that a highly aligned team on a characteristic can bring to the table? What are some challenges they may face? And the same thing on the diversity side. We often think when we think about teams that we need to have diversity, that we want to have diversity of background, diversity of knowledge, diversity of work experience. And that is absolutely true. You want to have that. But in some cases, diversity of behavior could cause problems for a team. For example, if I'm a person who's very attentive to details, I want to pay attention to every single detail in everything that I do. That may work in some situations, but if my whole team is lacking in attention to details, that could potentially cause some issues for my team. So being able to provide insight on areas of alignment, areas of diversity can really help the organization. Now, the second bucket that we're looking at is where we're looking at the behavioral characteristics as a whole. Looking at them in terms of three different major competency areas. So how people approach their work, how people approach the culture of their organization, and how people approach other people. We're taking the characteristics that we're measuring and we're identifying trends in terms of what we see across the people in the team. For example, on the work side, we look at whether people are more planners or more doers. We look at that spectrum and we see that when we look at behavioral characteristics, we can identify some people who are planners and some people who are doers. Understanding the makeup of the team and understanding how they approach work can help us to coach that team to a higher level of success. We had one example where a new team was forming within the organization, the financial institution that I was telling you about earlier, and it so turned out that everybody on the team was a planner. They're all about driving the strategy and figuring out what that strategy is going to be. There's no one to actually execute the strategy. So that was a blind spot for the team, where they had to determine, how are we actually going to get the work done, given that all of us prefer to plan? So identifying a higher level approaches to work, people, culture can help that team to be more successful by having that insight into themselves. Now, your original question was about prediction and how do we ensure that they're successful. And there are a couple of different ways to identify successful teams and really determine if they are successful or not. One is a little more on the subjective side and one's more objective. The first area that we would look at is team cohesion, understanding whether this team works well together, whether they can actually produce outputs together, being more successful. That is something that is more evaluated in a subjective way by looking at the team and saying, is this team cohesive? You can also look at that in a more objective way by, you know, if you look at a sales team, you'd be looking at sales numbers or reduction in safety incidents or different things like that. Getting to that predictive point, and we've been able to do this to some extent with this product. We're not quite there with this yet, but we're looking at that right now. We're able to start looking at how do behavioral characteristics and their potential alignment and diversity influence these outcomes that we might see. One of the things that we've looked at up to this point is team turnover. We have a lot of turnover data based upon the Talent Science product. That's one of the outcomes that we look at. If people are a good job fit, are they going to turn over less? So we have this data, and we also have access to what teams all of these people are on. So we were able to look at teams of people. This particular example is with a retail organization. And we looked at simply the degree of alignment of the characteristics. So not paying attention to diversity at this point, not paying attention to the rolled up competency level, just looking at alignment as a starting point. And we found that when teams are more aligned, when people are more alike in terms of their behavioral characteristics, they are likely to turn over, they're likely to leave the organization about 25% less than people who are on teams that are not aligned. So we know that there's something there. We know that there is the ability to predict based upon how people's behavioral characteristics align within a group. And that would be phase two, working on the descriptive component first, and then we're moving toward the more predictive.
Does the ideal makeup of teams vary per organization and industry? I would imagine there are differences between them in certain industries, but you need different people in different teams. How scalable would this become?
That's an area that we're exploring. Again, it's nice to have a lot of data. We test about 18 million people a year with our Talent Science solution, and we collect data on turnover numbers, termination numbers for all those people. That is one thing that we're exploring. The example I just gave was a retail organization where it was beneficial for people to be aligned. In another type of organization, where maybe it's a project-based team that you're coming together for one project and then you're dispersing, maybe it is better to be more diverse. Maybe there's a combination. So this is where we let the data tell us. We are doing some deeper level analytics to start to understand that and what those trends are.
Where's the proof points in terms of where's the background research for this coming from and the theory behind it?
There are several different psychological theories. One of the theories that we're drawing from is Tuckman's model of group development out of 1965. So it's a pretty old theory, but it's been one that people haven't necessarily been able to capture from an organizational perspective and really see it at work in any analytical type way. So that's where we're starting. And that theory essentially shows that teams go through different phases in terms of their development.
Forming, norming, storming.
Forming, storming. Absolutely right. If you think about team effectiveness and team performance, when they're in that storming phase, that phase where they're trying to figure each other out and understand how to approach the work together, that's where teams have the potential to fall apart. And so what we wanted to do with this product was to arm teams with information about the people that they're working with so that maybe they can get past that storming phase a little bit faster and move toward productivity.
How important is the leader?
That is something that we are also currently investigating. Definitely the leader is going to have an impact on the team. They're going to be setting the tone. They're going to be really working to set those norms within the team. Understanding where the leader also falls in terms of their behavioral characteristics in comparison to the rest of the team is also extremely important. What we've seen, this is just anecdotal at this point, but we have seen that oftentimes the team lead or the team manager can be quite different from the rest of the team in their behavioral characteristics. This also shows up in a lot of the leadership research that we've done as well, where we find that higher level leaders are typically lower in acceptance of authority, for example, and higher in ambition. And we see some characteristics come out when we're just talking about managers in general. That is going to be an interesting investigation as we continue rolling out this product.
You've mentioned one proof points, but from a business point of view, this seems really interesting, really exciting, but it still seems very early days. And actually, what difference is it going to make in my business, you know, taking professional services? You know, how, if I'm running a professional services organization, so I'm going to build up project teams quite often. It's quite a complex subject to get the right mix of people. And it's not always just about behavioral, because you've also got to talk about skills as well, especially in a project team.
Absolutely. That's a great question. That's where the alignment with the Team Insights tool in Talent Science and our GHR and talent management products within HCM Cloud Suite are going to be critical. Because you're right, you do need to know what jobs people are in. You do need to know their skills. Construction industry is one use case for this, where you'll have a big project. You'll need a project manager, a project engineer, various other roles that come together for a single project. They stay there for a year, maybe two, and then they disperse. They go somewhere else. In a situation like that, obviously you need to know what jobs people are in, and that would come from the information in a GHR type system. You would need to know what their experience is. You need to know where they're located. So there are a lot of different factors that would come into play if you are developing and configuring a high performing team from scratch. Where we are right now is more in the phase where we are looking at either established teams or teams that we might want to form and providing insight onto how those potential teams will perform together. So there's still a bit of manual work that has to happen with the current product. But longer term, much like with the analytics, the prediction that we want to build in, there'd also be a tie-in with GHR and talent management so that we can get that skills information, we can get the job information, location, all those other factors that would come into play.
GA on the product?
GA is going to be mid-November.
You talked about notable people. I understand the diverse and aligned characteristics. I'm assuming what you're talking about is people with notable characteristics different from the majority of the rest of the team. Is that right? And what kind of characteristics are those often?
It's completely dependent upon the team. That's the interesting thing about this product is that every team is going to be different. Every team is going to have their own behavioral makeup. And that very much comes out when we start to look at the alignment, the diversity, and yes, the notable characteristics. When we talk about notable with this tool, we're talking about two different things. One, they would be a notable characteristic where we're talking about extremes. So is the team very extreme on the high side? So if I'm talking about analytical again. Everybody's very analytical. That would be something that would be a notable characteristic if it was the most extreme on the analytical side, or it could be the other side. We could be talking about very extreme on the low analytical side. But that tells us something about the team. They are all very, very closely aligned and very extreme in their characteristics. This can cause blind spots because there are positive and negative things about being anywhere along the spectrum. If your team is all extremely analytical, this could cause you to potentially slow down in projects where no one can get out of that analysis phase and move forward. They're all kind of stuck there. For a team to have that awareness can be helpful to them moving forward. So that would be an example of notable extreme. We also think about notable in terms of the people. Maybe there is one person who is very, very different from everybody else. And we measure this mathematically. Underlying this product, there's a lot of analysis that takes place. But a notable person would be, again, with the analytical example, suppose the entire team is very analytical and one person is not at all. Now, that could have positive and negative implications for the team. Positive, in that case, you do have somebody that can maybe bring the group out of that analysis phase into the production phase. But at the same time, they might butt heads with those people that are very, very different from them. Along with just providing the insight on where people are in these characteristics, we also provide information that tells teams how they are different, how they are alike, what implications does this have, and how they can move forward.
If you do a bell bin, you don't normally change that much each time you do a bell bin. But characteristics, I would imagine, can change over time. They certainly do change after significant life events. So are you looking to track employees every year, or what's the cadence of checking people's characteristics?
So typically, if you're looking year to year, just within a single year, you're not going to see your characteristics change much. We see a very high correlation between how you respond in time one and how you respond in time two. You're right, though, over time, 10, 15, 20 years, you will see some shifts in your characteristics. So take ambition, for example. We often see that as people get older, their level of ambition starts to decrease a bit, which you can really correlate with life stage. We don't see, though, people shifting from very, very, very high ambition to very, very low ambition. it's more of a small shift where you may be shifting downward a bit, but you're not going to be a whole different person. Same for sociability. If you're very extroverted in time one, you're not going to be very introverted in time two. There may be some minor shifts, but you're going to basically be the same person. With talent science, we're using it for a selection situation, and people are coming in and taking our assessment and applying for a job. We do have them assess every year. We know that we're not going to see big changes, but from a candidate perception perspective, then yes.
But you may have life events. Individuals may become parents, and that can often change characteristics, I think.
Yes, but not to the degree that I think probably you might be thinking. And of course, there are always going to be outliers, so yes. But we do allow people to reassess every year, and with the Team Insights product, we certainly would allow for that as well. We do have in our system development content where if a person is misaligned with their job in some way, if I need you to be a little more analytical or I need you to be a little more outgoing, if you're working with customers, maybe there's a degree of outgoing that you may need to increase. We have developmental content that we can provide to managers to help coach their people along. And we do see some, not core changes in personality, but more a difference in how people approach situations. So giving them tools to be able to approach situations in different ways and kind of stretch, if you will. So people can stretch, people can grow, but oftentimes your core personality is not going to change. Unless, as you said, if there's a major life event, of course, there may be outliers, but typically not.
Do you see changes through osmosis if you've got a member of a team that they're not aligned with in some characteristic? Do you see them actually changing that characteristic to align? Because people often do reflect personalities.
I don't know that it's necessarily a change in core personality. I think it's more understanding how to adapt and change with the situation.
The outer skin on the onion of personality, in a sense.
So we all have different selves. And that's been well documented in the research. You have your work self, I have my work self. We're both very different at home. And so we learn to adapt and shift ourselves to the situation. Insight into a team can help you to determine what yourself needs to be at work, understanding that everybody else is very ambitious and I'm not at all, or any of the other examples I gave. That can help me to understand how I should shift and change in order to approach this situation.
Have you done this on the Infor leadership team?
No, not yet.
Are you going to?
I would love to.
Because that's the interesting thing. It's a bit cheeky asking about that one. But actually, if you look at an organization, the leadership team is the most expensive and is the one you really want to be aligned and have the best team possible. They're the ones who actually cost the most money as well. So it makes sense to do that. Have you done that work with any leadership teams yet?
We have with leadership teams and some of the other organizations we've worked with. Hasn't been quite ready to show for leadership yet.
There's been some research in the UK around high-performing teams, which has found that extrinsic motivation was not a significant factor. You're looking at individual characteristics. Are you able to look at those? I suppose things like the research pulled out was how important is the work? How mentally stimulating is the work? Which isn't necessarily about personality. It's about the work they're doing and the work the team's doing. Is that something you're building in or looking to build in potentially?
Potentially, yes. And I'd be interested to see that research to understand what types of teams they were talking about. Because, as you know, teams can take many different forms, and some teams aren't going to have mentally stimulating work.
You're talking about the individual characteristics of a person. There are other factors in having a high-performing team. Yes, this research showed that its extrinsic factors such as wage and bonuses actually didn't impact the performance of the team that much. It was more around the intrinsic motivation of the individual. It was more around, was the work stimulating for that individual within the team? So they're not necessarily characteristics, but they're external influences.
Yes, I could definitely see that. There are a lot of factors that lead to team success, that being one. I would be interested to see whether that was true across all types of teams. Because if you have a sales team where the whole goal is to make a quota and make money, that may be a team that is more motivated by extrinsic factors, just in general due to what they do for a living. A successful team is really not only based on things like that that you just mentioned, but it's also based on feelings of psychological safety, you know, being able to feel like you can say things in your team without being retaliated against or fear of retribution. It's about having a common goal. And so I think that speaks to the intrinsic motivation side as well. You know, if you're working toward a common goal together as this group, that can help you to be more successful. So defining the goal up front is something that would be very important. There are multiple factors that lead to team success, and I could definitely see the intrinsic motivation being something that would.
He did the research amongst 400 professional services organisations. One of the other things he found within his firm is he actually put humour within the organisation's values. And that's quite an interesting thing because it's hard to measure humour sometimes.
Yes, I think that speaks to psychological safety. If people feel that they are free to make jokes and be funny and have a little more relaxed environment, that would contribute to that sort of environment that would lead to successful teams.
Thank you very much, Jill.
Thank you so much.